Welcome to State of Affairs. I'm Robin Fisher, sitting in for Julie Credence. Road rage, air rage, and desk rage. Rage is all the rage in America. Anger, at its most extreme level, can lead to violence against our coworkers, our families, and ourselves. But even in everyday circumstances, unmanaged anger can cause health problems such as addiction, weight gain, headaches, and high blood pressure. Are you angry most of the time? Do you often feel you want to explode at frustrating situations? We'll spend the hour talking about anger and anger management with two experts in this area. R. Brayton Bowen is an author and speaker who leads the Howen Group, a Louisville-based consulting firm committed to building better worlds of work. He has served as a senior officer for Fortune 500 companies and has more than 25 years of corporate and consulting experience. Brayton is the author of Recognizing and Rewarding Employees, The Incredible Power of a Pat on the Back, and Leading in the Face of Terrorism, A Leader's Guide to Addressing Workplace Anxiety in a Conflicted World. In 1999, in cooperation with the Public Radio Partnership, he both hosted and co-produced the documentary series Anger in the Workplace, which was distributed to public radio stations nationally in 2000. Welcome back to the program, Brayton.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
We also have with us today Dr. Bernie Carducci. Dr. Carducci is a full professor of psychology at Indiana University Southeast, fellow of the American Psychological Association, and a member of Who's Who in Frontier Science and Technology, a consultant with Social Performance Enhancement Services, which serves to help individuals plan strategies to increase their interpersonal effectiveness. He is the author of The Psychology of Personality, Viewpoints, Research, and Applications, a college-level textbook, and The Pocket Guide to Making Successful Small Talk, How to Talk to Anyone, Anytime, Anywhere, About Anything. In addition to his multiple appearances on ABC's Good Morning America and other national and international media services, Dr. Carducci's writings and advice have been featured in such diverse sources as Psychology Today, U.S. News & World Report, and The New York Times. Welcome, Dr. Carducci.
Thanks for having me.
Today we're going to be talking about anger and anger management. And I think anger is a very complicated emotion. In doing my research, I found such diverse opinions as anger is a natural emotion, it's a natural response, it's part of our fight or flight response. I also found that anger is a learned behavior. Anger should be expressed. Anger should be controlled. So I'd like to talk today about all the facets involving anger. And callers, in just a few minutes, we'll be asking you to join in the conversation. The number to call is 814-TALK, that's 814-8255, or toll free 1-877-814-TALK. Well, Brayton, Bernie, what is anger?
When we talk about anger, one of the things that we want to understand is that, like so many other complex phenomena, it's something that we have to think about at many different levels, take a holistic approach to things. We need to talk about it from a physiological perspective, a behavioral, a cognitive, a social, and cultural perspective. And looking at it at that level, we can see that it manifests itself in many, many different ways. When we talk about the notion of anger, we're talking about a very basic emotion that serves some very important adaptive processes. For example, it can help us in defense against predators. It can help us in motivating us to remove insurmountable barriers. Mm-hmm. But what happens with anger is that it's like anything else. When it becomes in excess, when it becomes the dominant response, when it becomes the way that you deal with many of your problems, that's when it becomes a real serious handicap. So it has its place, it has its purpose, just like anything else. A good mechanic has many, many different tools to deal with daily life, their problems that they face. What happens when with anger is that it becomes the tool that you use. It's your hammer for dealing with anything.
And it's sort of a deflector for us of a negative situation, yet it can also perpetuate a negative situation.
It can also serve as a means of communication. This is how you interact with the world. There are people that we know that are the highly aggressive types of individuals. This is how they operate. This is how they filter the world. This is their lens. It's a lens of aggression. It's a lens of hostility. So it can serve many different purposes.
In Brayton?
Well, I agree with Bernie in terms of the emotional gamut. I think that anger as an emotion is not a bad thing. It's part of who we are. It's a part of our repertoire of feelings, if you will. And to the extent that it can motivate us to act on a particular subject and to do it in a constructive way, it is a positive. The extent to which it is a factor that we act upon in a destructive way, it is unacceptable. I tend to focus the subject of anger more around a broader topic of workplace conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And what I believe is that conflict is not a difference of opinions. In fact, differences of opinions are appropriate and helpful. But in the workplace context, workplace conflict arises when two parties who are interdependent, whose jobs are interdependent, feel angry and perceive that the other individual is at fault and then act in ways that causes a business problem. From that definition, we're able to see that it involves feeling, thinking, and acting as part of the of who mm-hmm. we are, who the people are. And that has different implications in terms of how it impacts the business and how leaders in particular need to address employees on a whole person basis. And we can talk about that a little more later.
Do you feel that anger is often a matter of feeling responsible or feeling like you're being blamed for something that is not your fault, or a situation that is out of control and that you cannot control, or what causes someone to not only become angry but then to rage, and how is rage different?
It's all of those things that you said. When we talk about sort of the causes of anger, it's oftentimes based in the notion of frustration. You are being blocked from something that you truly want or truly believe that you should have or that you're justified in having. So the world is not a fair place.
Mm-hmm.
That's frustration in that regard. But it can also be due to provocation, somebody provoking you in a way that requires that you respond and that you defend yourself. So somebody cutting you off in a car, for example, is an example of it might serve as a situation like that, or your computer crashing. There's some rather interesting research that goes on in terms of computer rage, and it's not just people flaming online. It's people in offices and cubicles pounding on their computers, and what they find is that that's due to this notion of frustration and provocation.
And I guess perhaps our lack of control. I see the desk rage. I see that a lot, especially with the computers, because you can't control that. And you're in the middle of a project, and it goes down, and you're stuck. Mm-hmm. And it's very frustrating.
I agree with you. I think that is an issue or a condition that can be extremely upsetting. But I also think that it's important to draw a line between the emotion and the behavior. If my computer crashes, I'm going to be very upset. But if I choose to process and figure out what needs to be done to fix the computer, then I'm acting in a constructive way. On the other hand, if I choose to take a paperweight and smash the heck out of the computer, then I'm behaving in a destructive way. Again, emotion is not bad. It's the behavior that we have to look at.
Do you find that it is on the increase in America, rage? I think rage seems to be used all the time now. You hear the road rage, you hear the air rage, you hear the desk rage. But just anger as a whole with society, more people seem to be angry. They seem to be defensive. And I would like to know also how you feel our general language has contributed to the increase in anger. We curse like sailors all the time.
Well, part of what you're describing is it's not just an increase in things like rage and anger and hostility,
mm-hmm.
but there also seems to be a sort of general loss of civility. And an example is people running red lights.
Right.
I mean, that is, we know that is on the rise. Now, that's not being angry or hostile. That's just simply being, in a sense, rude.
Mm-hmm.
So creating difficulties for other people. So when you begin to start thinking about this sort of general loss of civility that's occurring, it becomes easier then to start aggressing, to start treating people in a more inconsiderate manner. So it inches up, it moves up just as we adapt to different levels of what's accepted. Just like you said, it's now accepted for people to cuss or to be angry in everyday situations.
And we also see a lot of the sarcastic humor, which I think may lead to the whole general discontent, which I guess I associate with anger.
One of the things that we've tried to look at in terms of what is contributing to this level of societal loss of civility and anger and hostility is what we define as identity intensity. It's taking more and more and more to get noticed. And so, for example, when I was growing up, if you had green hair, you were a freak. And now, in order to get noticed, you have to have hot, electric green hair with spikes and lots of tattoos and that sort of stuff. So as it takes more and more and more to get noticed, to get attention, that's going to make it much more difficult for people to kind of interact with each other because they're competing for this attention.
And Brayton, do you feel that this lack of civility or loss of civility and essentially the loss of identity in the workplace has led to the increase in anger in the workplace?
I think it has. If we look at our models nationally in terms of our forms of entertainment, we have examples in terms of the McLaughlin Report, Crossfire, Hardball, where people are not allowed to finish their sentences. We've become a nation of shouters and shooters. And to that extent, we are teaching people how to be uncivil and modeling different ways of engaging in a disrespectful way. One of the things that I came across not too long ago was a statistic that says up to 42% of the workforce at any point in time is either engaged in conflict or dealing with conflict. And when you think of that in terms of the profitability and the performance of the organization, that number, 42%, if you translate that to a percentage of payroll, is greater than what most companies are spending on benefits for employees. Mm-hmm. That energy and that behavior and turn it in a constructive way can have enormous implications in terms of improved customer service, improved profitability, and improved individual and interpersonal performance.
Thank you. Callers, do you have any questions for our anger management experts today? Give us a call at 814-8255. That's 814-TALK or toll free 1-877-814-TALK. I'd like to discuss a little bit more about anger in the workplace and then also anger in social situations. Why are we so angry at work now? I mean, I feel like we are so angry at work now, and I see an increase in the level of anger, and I'm curious as to whether it's the breaking down of the barrier between management and employee. Whether it also may now be an impetus from the economy. You know, people are more afraid that they're going to lose their job.
Just responding to that, Bernie touched on it in a way. In many respects, with respect to the workplace, I think we are becoming desensitized to people losing jobs, and we have for so many years discounted even dealing with emotions in the workplace. The fact that we're talking about this subject, I think, is really encouraging because it tells me that we are becoming more aware of the impact and the significance in that context, in the work context and in the societal context. The loss of jobs, we lost over 2.5 million jobs in this country last year. We've been downsizing at a rate of about a million jobs annually. And I do think that people are virtually becoming desensitized. And so to Bernie's point, if we want to get any attention in our work context, we feel that we have to behave in some exaggerated way in order to get quote-unquote management's attention. As I've written about in the book, I think that it's becoming more and more incumbent upon, if not imperative, that leaders deal in a very holistic way, deal with the behavior, the thinking, and the feeling aspects of the workforce.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have to take a quick break, but we'll return for more discussion about anger and anger management.